Hi everyone, welcome back to Heavenland Devotions, the little green pasture. So glad you're here, and I'm glad I'm here too, because I love sharing and I love fellowshipping and I love the living waters that flow. Who doesn't love living waters? Who doesn't love going to the mountains and streams and watching those clear crystal waters run by? There's nothing like it. I think that none of us that know the Lord can get away from the fact that when we get out into his nature, that we're seeing nature's revelation of God. And so we can always look for refreshment in God's word the same way. You know, every time I'm here is because in devotions, in meeting with Jesus, he's been so kind to me and so good to refresh my soul and to nourish it. I also drink deeply before I come here. I just don't take a sip and run. I spend time with that great shepherd of the sheep. And so before I get started, I'm going to pray to the Lord, that great shepherd of the sheep, because I would like to honor him, to honor his name. And so therefore now in Jesus' name, Lord, I come before you, Lord, with humble and deep gratitude. Lord, as I put my entire all into the all in all, and that every word that would be spoken here today, that Lord, it would come out, Lord, from your own heart into mine. Let your living waters flow. Let those who thirst come and let them drink of the living waters freely. Lord, I thank you so much. I pray that your blessing would be upon all who listen. And Lord, I will follow you. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. My God, my King, in Jesus' name, amen. Today I was reading in Psalm 78, and it's one of my favorite chapters because it goes into, it starts off with speaking about the different generations that from one generation to another. I'm going to read a few words here from that chapter, because I want you to hear it as it is written, the way the Holy Spirit wants it to be understood. And let me just pause there, because over the last week, I've been thinking about this generation that we live in and all the different ways that we meet with Jesus. And there's all these new kind of, I don't know, just ways that everybody meets with Christ. And, you know, I really come from the old school, you know, where you just open the book and you read and you stay with it and you drink it deep and you drink every drop of it and you remain there and there's no rushing and there's no prohibition to, I'll read this, I'll read that. Yes, I have my Bible reading plan, but I will be honest and say there's many times when the water is flowing, I stay right there. I'm not rigid. I'm not forcing myself into a mold. I am following Jesus Christ and I'm sitting at his feet. And so I was thinking about all the people, because I had been revisiting certain lives of people from the past that have gone before us and have blazed a trail for us, but the generation of this generation has never heard of them before, and they may never hear of them again unless I bring them up or somehow he's brought up in other circles. But the only thing that's left of theirs is their works, their inspired works, their wonderful works. And I always think about them because I have wonderful little devotional books or people that are actually really, by this generation, nobody's actually even heard of them. And I've heard of them from Elizabeth Elliot and people that have been mentioned in Amy Carmichael's books, where I have to literally look them up and then I find them. And I get my books from a place called Forgotten Books. So if you're looking for a book that you think is out of print, go to forgottenbooks.com, because I get a lot of books from there that from people I've never heard of before, but that I'm indulging myself in. And so what I want to talk about today is, in my thoughts, I was thinking over the last few days, I was thinking, is this it? I mean, are we just this generation of people that we go, okay, we have it all. We have our Bibles. We have our laptops. We have this. We have that. But yet at the same time, this is the most empty, the emptiest body of Christ in like in large, in mass. And people don't even really realize just how hungry they are, but they're running to and fro. You know, it does say in Amos 8:11, it says, in the latter days, I will send a famine, not of the thirst of water, or that of, I think I don't have it in front of me, neither that of bread, he said, but I will send a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord, and many shall run from the east. I think it's like east to the north and the south to the west. It was something kind of like that. It says, and they will try to seek for it, but they will not be able to find it. You know, God is sovereign, and he has, I think so much has been lost in the value of God's word. And there's so many biblical Bible interpretations. There's all these different Bibles, but you know what? God gave us his word. I love the King James 1611 version. I will read no other Bible. And I have done deep dive research into it. And it is like a deep dive into, I know nothing's really super perfect, but I look at it as, you know, that is the preserved text, and I love it. Anyways, just that's kind of a side note. So I was saying to myself and to the Lord, you know, conversationally, is this it, Lord? So those people that lived before, are we cut off from them? Is the torch not passed to somebody, to me, to other people who are everywhere? Maybe it's you even listening that perhaps, Lord, what about me? I mean, because it strikes me sometimes where I'm like, I'm always reading, because I do believe that no matter what you're doing in life, that you should always be reading. You should always be taking something in, and just always keep your mind fed with the words of the Lord, always, all the time, as much as you are able. But the point that I'm trying to say is, did it end with them? I mean, because we could all look at them and say, yes, they were absolutely a different kind of people. They were people that were so potent in the faith and potent in the word, and they received revelations from the Holy Spirit, and they had the understanding of the Spirit, and they wrote it all down. And so now we just have their books, but then, and so I think, and then it just stops there. And I say, where's the inspiration of the Lord? And there's all these different things that are said about it. Well, you know, they didn't have electronics. It was a different kind of life. And there's all these things. But I say, yes, but it's the self same spirit. And I really started thinking about that, because obviously there's only going to be a Spurgeon, an Amy Carmichael, Elizabeth Elliot, and a J.R. Miller, and all these different names I can name all the way back to Puritan times and all their books written. But doesn't it ever occur to you? Do you ever stop and think, what about now? Are we a people that are so dependent on other people constantly spoon feeding us? Do we always have to have people cutting our meat for us? I don't know about you, but as an adult, I can cut my own meat, and I can dress my own self, and I don't need help. If I need to go somewhere, I'll drive myself. I have ownership of myself. But yet I say everybody has that kind of ownership in their life, but they don't have ownership of God's word. There's no ownership there. They will attend a meeting, a home meeting. They'll attend a church. And this is not a blanket statement. So please, this is not me saying everybody, like my arm waving over all humanity. No, that's not what I'm doing. I just say what I'm saying, let the Holy Spirit minister these words to you. I am definitely not perfect, and I am so glad I'm not, because it gives me peace in knowing that I don't have to live up to a title. I don't have to live up to a certificate. I don't have to live up to anything. I am your sister in Christ, and I love you. And so I'm here with a big vessel just ready to pour it out to you and share the light of Christ. So let me go forward. So with that thinking every day, I was like, it was getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And I mean, through the day, I'm going through the day, and it's almost like my heart is stirring, and it's getting stronger and stronger until I'm saying to the Lord in prayer, I'm saying, Lord, did it end there? Is there anybody? What about me? I raise my hand up, Lord. I raise my hand up high to you. And Lord, I'm not trying to be like them, but the spirit that moved in them, can your spirit move in me that way? Because I ask for your Holy Spirit to move in me that way. You know, I want to get away from the noise. You know, there's so much music out there, and people are worshiping to it. I don't feel the Holy Spirit in any of it. And this is just me speaking. I'm just sharing myself with you. You have your own experience. But so, and there's this sense of like wanting to get away from it all. You can't leave the earth. We can't get away from postmodernism. But there is a time that we start to grow up in our life, spiritual life, where we want to start owning God's word for ourselves, where we want to start really receiving honey from the honeycomb of ourselves for ourselves, and to receive the revelation of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. And you know, that can only happen when we remain still. And I said to the Lord today, what about this generation? And I thought about, and I'm going to read this because I want to start. I thought about all the ancestors that have gone before us. You know, we see Hebrews chapter 11, which is called the Hall of Faith. But I like to call it the Ancestral Halls. And we are the generation that came out of all those people. And they're home with the Lord now. And what kind of people do we really want to be at the end? I don't want to look like this world. I don't want to sound like it. I don't want to agree with it. I don't want to have a conversation. But I want to tuck myself away in the Lord, as Amy put it. In Psalm 78, 1 through 15, bear with me because it's important that I read these words so I can show you what the Holy Spirit showed me. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink, out of great depths. Praise the Lord. And I say to myself, did it end there? And what are we now today? And I say to myself, Lord, we have to be those at the end that have to become what I refer to as a golden link in that chain that goes all the way back through those ancestral halls. I love that scripture that says that God, I have it right here. I think I do. It says in Psalm 47:4, he shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. And yes, I know that this is about the Jews. This is about what happened to them. We all know this. But yet, here we are. We're a people of God. What does that look like? You know what it is? There's a commercial spirit. There's a marketable Christianity. There's a Christianity that you just can go in, do some paper, like have some paperwork, as Fred Tomlinson, my friend, said, who's gone home to be with the Lord. He used to say, it's not like that. It's not where you just say a few words and now you're in and some paperwork is done in heaven for you. You know, there comes a time where you want to own something. You want to own what they owned. And I think we see their works, and it's so powerful because they owned Christ. They took a hold of him. They didn't just touch his garment. They held on to him, and they would not let him go, like the woman in Song of Solomon. And when I saw that word, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand in a as a heap. I felt that I could hear the Lord saying to me, I want to be careful, because so many people nowadays say, the Lord said, but sometimes you will not hear words spoken to you, but something greater than words will speak within you. And that is his voice. Somehow it's him. And I heard him saying, what was for then is for now. That Bible, this word, it was preserved all the way, and you're reading it today because it's for you today. And I mean you, not just me. And I think, you know what? I want to go with them. I want to walk in those paths, those ancient paths. Like it says in Jeremiah 6:16, go to now and stand in the place where there are two paths and ask the Lord, which is the good way. Which way to go? He says, and to choose the good way, right? And so we want to choose that good way, the old way, the trodden pathway. I don't want to go in new paths. Neither do you. Stay off of the newer paths that give you a quickie promise. Like if you do this, these three things, then you'll have this. Because you know something, this earth right now is not our home. We are passing through this time, but you see, God had all of this written down so that we would see this one thing. What more proof do you want? What more evidence do you want? Because when you say, oh, I totally believe the Lord, I totally believe in the Lord, God isn't waiting for you to build up some intellectual faith froth. In fact, that doesn't work, because a little child can say they believe from a pure heart. And you know what? I'm more than happy to become like a little child. I want to be like them. I want to have that pure heart, quick to forgive, always wanting love, and that pure innocence. And you know, it is hard. You know, we've been so poisoned by this world, and we've seen things that are imprinted in our minds. But I'll tell you something right now. I've worked hard in prayer. I have, where I've said, Lord, you stamp out those images that I saw through my life, things that don't serve you anymore. And I think about the one generation after another generation after another generation, and then you read about the generations, the four generations in Proverbs 31. There is a generation, you can read it yourself, but it says there is a generation that are wise in their own eyes, that are yet, though they are not yet, they're not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation whose jaw teeth are as knives, and their there something like that. It talks about these four generations, and it is a it's a declension. It declines into a murderous generation. It is. It turns it. I'm going to read it right now because I think it's really important. And it's right here. Thank God. So I didn't have to. It says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. So you see, the generations get worse and worse and worse, but there has to be a remnant. There is always a remnant of people. And I'm not interested in a rubber stamped Christianity, and you should never be satisfied with that. And if there's always this longing and this yearning and this searching, is because you're hungry for the truth of the God's word. You're hungry for Jesus. Isn't it? You know, Jesus is a real person. And I think we miss that so much because that tomb is empty. He is raised from the dead. He is risen is sat down at the right hand of God, upholding all things by the word of his power. But we can go to Jesus. We can still touch the hem of his garment. We can still sit at Jesus's feet. You know, I hear so many crazy things out there like, oh, there's a portal you can pray through. And there's all these things. And I say, just as you read about it in his Bible is the same for you today. You can go to Jesus. You can go to Jesus. You can talk to him right now. You can tell him anything you want. He already knows you. You know, my husband said something to me the other day. He said, you know, I think there's so much. I'm going to try and say it the way he did, and I'm probably going to get the first part wrong, but I'll do my best. He said, you know, I was just thinking that there's so much, you know, wanting to become like the Lord, become like the Lord. But the Lord is not, obviously I'm going to get it all wrong. I'm going to get to cut to the chase. The Lord is waiting for you. He's waiting for you. And he's waiting for us. He's waiting for me. And just as we see Nicodemus go in at night and talk to him, we can do that. There's so much noise these days. You know, it says he divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And I say to myself, what more evidence, Joan, do you need? What do you want God to do? Does he need to do that again in order for you to see? He did it once and had it recorded so that you will understand and know. So you, even whoever you are that are listening, it's for you to understand and know that God sees you. You know, I read something from a great scholar once. He said, God loved Israel so much that it was nothing for him to rip the womb of Egypt wide open and take Israel out. That is a powerful thing to say, that he even ripped the womb of Egypt wide open and took his son Israel out. And God parted the Red Sea to let his children pass through on dry ground. God fed his people in the wilderness. You don't think this is a wilderness today? This world is not merciful. God is merciful. And I want to say this. Maybe you've been mad at God lately. Maybe you've been feeling like God has forgotten you, that God has just left you to suffer. It's not what you think, because God loves us and he sees us and he sees your suffering. He captures really all. He's counting all of your tears. You are so valuable to him. And though you are in pain right now, he is with you, and he will bring you out of whatever it is you are going through. And even as I said that, I can almost kind of feel the enemy saying, you better be careful what you're saying. And I say back, oh, I'll be careful what I'm saying. I'll be careful to say the devil is a liar. I'll be careful to say that he's an accuser of the brethren, and that he's a slave driver and a and a murderer from the beginning, and he abides not in the truth. And when he speaketh his own, he speaketh a lie, for he's a father of lies. You know, it says, he clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of great depths. And I say to myself, but he claved that rock so that you and I can drink of that rock, that spiritual water, which is Christ. And let me say something. Jesus's word is power. It will outlive everything. He preserves and keeps his word forever. He is still our Savior. Jesus is always our Savior. Jesus is always saving us. It says in his word that Ephraim turned away and he wasn't steadfast. And you heard what I said. Even though they were armed and carrying the bows, they were the largest tribe. It says that they forgot his works that he showed them, and they refused to walk in his law, even though God did marvelous things in their sight and the sight of their fathers. See, something is broken. Something doesn't get passed down, but a commercialized Christianity where you can say, you know, you can go buy 1,000 books and read a postmodern ways. But I say, why go that way? You know what? Seek for the old paths of in Jesus Christ. You know, it says in Hebrews 5:13 and 14, and I live by these words, and it says, but they that desire the milk are those who are unskillful in the word of righteousness, being yet babes. But strong meat belongeth unto them who are full of age, who by reason of use have exercised themselves from good, to discern good and evil. You see, the sincere milk is the large en masse craving. That it doesn't see, the strong meat never belongs to millions of people, because they don't want the strong meat. They don't want to go further with Christ. They don't want any more. They just want, okay, I have Jesus, I have this, and I'm going on. And I pray that the Lord opens their eyes and that they would see his glory passing by them, and that God's hand would cover them while he puts them in the cleft of the rock. But you know, the choice is yours. The choice is yours to go further. You know, I love the words I wrote down in my Bible from Amy Carmichael. And she was reading about, and I've read this before, and she was reading about, she was reading a book about mountain climbers. And she quoted a chunk of it. And she said, a voice said, climb. And he said, how shall I climb? The mountains are so steep that I cannot climb. The voice said, climb or die. He said, but how? I see no way up those steep ascents. This that is asked is too hard for me. The voice said, climb or perish, soul and body of thee, mind and spirit of thee. There is no second chance for any son of man. Climb or die. Then he remembered that he had read in the books of the bravest climbers on the hills of the earth that sometimes they were aware of the presence of a companion on the mountains who was not one of the earthly party of the climbers. And he remembered a word in the book of mountaineers. It heartened him, for it told him that he was created to walk in precarious places and not on the easy levels of life. You know something? There is a cost to serving Christ. There is a cost. But I'll tell you something right now. I would rather pay that cost, because Christ gave it all. And you know, he gave it all up to save you and me. He gave up his life. He left heaven. He came here. He knew everything that would happen to him. And he went his whole life practicing to die. And he died alone. He died a death that would be paid for our sins in full, so that we wouldn't just stay at the bottom of the mountain, but to answer the call to climb up higher and not die below. And I'm not talking about losing your salvation. But don't you want everything Christ has to give you? And not be always spoon-fed. And not be like a cork tossed about on the waters. It says that man shouldn't think to receive anything of the Lord. He's unstable in everything that he does. And there's this grave instability. And the landscape of worldwide Christianity today. And yet there's these few that I get this picture of those that have piped their pipes upon the mountains, it says in Isaiah. Those that have gone further with Christ and have gone up the mountain, whether and even if it, because the greatest soldiers are called really from that mountain of affliction. Look, I'll tell you something right now. I would rather have gone the way I did. And even if I have to face harder things, it's only for the fact that Jesus has already prescribed it. He's already going to take care of everything. I don't want to have to go through it, but I'm just saying, Jesus is always in it. See, it's when you forget his works. You have to constantly be letting that word flow into you. I'm not talking about reading the Bible for hours. Because you see in devotions, when you read one thing, I think of that scripture in Job where it says, the ear trieth the word as the mouth tasteth meat. You have to give time to taste it. And many times, most of the time, everybody's on this fast track. Like, I want to go, I want to learn more, I want to learn more, I want to learn more. You know what I heard the Holy Spirit say to me this morning? If I give them too much, if they learn too much, they'll forget everything over here. Instead, pray that I would deepen. Pray that the Lord would deepen and make it go even deeper still, the things you've already been taught. And let yourself be exercised in them. And in closing, I want to read something because it really blessed me. I saw this devotion and I said, I'm going to read this to them. It's called I call it the eye of the divine love. Because I think we forget that God is more in love with us, always with us, always watching it. It says in the word, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. And we have to realize that that loving eye that's always with us is the eye of love for you. And your life is very, very valuable to him. And it says here, go where we may, we cannot get away from the calm, clear gaze of the divine eye, neither in the blue depths of the heavens nor in the dark abysses of the grave. No one can hide from God. If we could take the morning sunbeams for wings and fly away on them with all the swiftness of light to the remotest bounds of space, we could not get beyond the reach of the divine eye. If we creep into darkness, darkness so deep and dense that no human eyes can behold us, still God sees us as clearly as if we stood in the bright noonday sunshine. Darkness hides not from him. Night shines to his eyes as brightly as day. When we know that God loves us, there is an infinite comfort in this thought also, to be wondrous incitement and inspiration in this consciousness, while the eye of divine love is looking upon us, we should always do our best. You know, when my babies were little, and even though they're older, my eyes are always on them. I'm looking at everything they're doing. And when they're not in my sight, I'm still looking. Because I love them so much. One day, John and I were driving in Back Bay, Newport Beach, in this beautiful nature reserve, and it was beautiful. And the windows were rolled down. It was a spring day. It was about 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning, golden liquid light, shining herons and the ducks in the water, green grasses swaying. Everything looks so bright. And I began to feel the Holy Spirit enter into the car. And I began to feel the love of God. And in my heart, I was looking at all his beauty. And I said to him in my heart, I said, Lord, I love you so much. And he replied, can you love me more than I love you? And then it welled up even more. And I sat in that presence of divine love, whose divine eye was upon me that day. And that divine eye is upon you. God bless you. Own God's word. Make it your own. Make it become a part of your very life. And your walk. Your walk means your life. And enjoy what he's already taught you. And let him take you deeper and deeper. So that you will drink out of the great depths of the well of Jesus Christ. Amen. Be that generation. Maranatha.